As David's promised race, if you're able and willing, I invite you to stand with us as we seek him together. Our gracious and our glorious God, Lord, we would lift our hearts to you, the one who reigns in the heavens. Blessed be our God who reigns on high. You are the God who saves. And you are the God who is exalted high. You are the God who has appointed your Son as the head of the church. You have appointed your Son with all authority in heaven and earth. You are the God who has appointed your Son as the King upon the holy hill of Zion. And, O Lord Jesus, we would look to you this night, our suffering, crucified, wounded Savior. We would look to you, Lord Jesus, the one who has restored what he did not steal. You are the one, Lord Jesus, who is hated without a cause. You are the one, Lord Jesus, consumed with zeal for your Father's glory. You are the one, Lord Christ, overcome by the flood waters of your Father's wrath. You are the one, Lord Jesus, most worthy of our deepest love, our warmest, most fervent zeal. You are the one, Lord Jesus, who deserves the highest praise we could render. But Lord, we confess to you that our zeal cools. Lord, that our love grows cold. Lord, we confess that our pace slows. Lord, that our hands grow heavy. Oh, Lord, the powers of the evil one are strong and mighty. His sword is swift. Lord, his arms never tire. And Lord, we simply grow weary. Our heart grows faint. Our shields splinter. Our swords grow dull. And Lord, there are indeed those hours, there are those days, there are those seasons where, Lord, we simply want to cease and to yield the field. We confess to you that in our fatigue, we transgress your law. We break your commandments in thought, word, and deed. We confess that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And then sin, when it is conceived, it gives birth and it grows, it festers. Gracious God, we pray that you would look upon us. And, Lord, that you would forgive us our sin. But is this not why you laid down your life as that sacrifice? Lord, is this not what burned in your soul with love for the glory of God and pity for the race of men? We pray, Lord, that by your blood, by your wounds, we might be healed this night, and that we might know once again with a firm and certain persuaded assurance that we would know that we are indeed the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us what it is to burn with that zeal of the Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would give us a love for the glory of God. Lord, that you would give us a burden for the lost. Lord, that you would give us hearts that are aglow with a love for the worship of the living God, that your word would go forth with power, Lord, that your truth would be read and proclaimed and prayed and sung in simplicity, in spirit, and in truth. Gracious God, we pray that you would equip your church for the battles of the day. Lord, that you would train her and equip her. Lord, that you would sharpen our swords. Lord, that you would repair our shields. Lord, that you would give sufficient rest for our feet and for our arms. And then, Lord, stirred and driven on by the winds of heaven, exhorted and inspired by the banner of the cross, Lord, would you send us out? Would you send us out with confidence in the name of the Lord? Lord, that we might speak in the name of the one who was hated without cause. Oh, Lord, that we would pray with agony and with fervor that the glory of God would be upheld. And Lord, that you would give us to sing with a full-throated vigor, that we might sing with thanksgiving and with gratitude and with love and with joy in our souls. Lord, would you build up your church? Would you save Zion? Would you build up the walls of Zion? Would you appoint watchmen on her walls? Lord, would you cause your trumpet to blow with no uncertain sound? Oh, Lord, that you would give us eyes that look for movement in the trees. And Lord, that you would cause your church to be built up. Lord, build her up with faith. Lord, build her up with zeal and with joy. We trust your promises. Oh, Father of glory, we trust your promises to your Son to give unto him the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession. Father, as your word goes forth in this place, we pray, O Lord, that you would give this little band of believers an unyielding, undimmed, steady, burning zeal for the divine glory, for the sacred name of Christ. And Lord, would you give us hearts that are willing to sacrifice, Lord, to look to our Christ who offered himself as that sacrifice for sin. Lord, give us hearts that are willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Would you train us? Would you shape our minds to discern what is that good and perfect will of God? Come, Holy Spirit, and would you cause your word to go forth now, not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with much assurance. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text tonight will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 69. Psalm 69 on page 613 in your pew Bibles. For many of us, we have our particular favorite psalms. We'll have our go-to portions of the Psalter or a particular hymns that we love to hear or to sing. When you're riding down the road, you'll have your own playlist that you will want to hear. You'll hit play. You'll scroll through the songs or the albums, and you'll pick the ones that you want to hear. You'll have your go-to playlist. You'll have your going to the beach playlist. You'll have your worship soundtrack. There'll be different playlists that you'll pick to suit the time and the need. For the early church, for the first century church, one of the first songs on their playlist was the 69th Psalm. Acts chapter 1, as that fellowship of believers is huddled, seeking the Lord and praying for what to do in the aftermath of the ascension of Christ. They quote the 69th Psalm. When the apostles remembered the Lord Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple, they remembered the 69th Psalm. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the Roman church in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 15, he quotes the 69th Psalm. When the Lord Jesus is describing the hatred of the world for himself and therefore for believers, he turns to the 69th Psalm. In other words, this psalm is quoted more than most in the New Testament. It is explicitly a psalm of and about the Messiah. We're going to focus, for our purposes tonight, we're going to focus on verse 9, the verse that is remembered by the apostles as they remember the consuming zeal of the Lord Jesus. But we'll read this psalm together. Psalm 69, to the choir master, according to Lilies of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. And let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord. For your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy, and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. You and I have zeal that cools, hearts that need reviving. It's what revival is. When we pray for revival, what is revival? Well, it's the reinvigorating of zeal. Zeal for the glory of the Lord. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. A gentleman, when I was in a low season years ago, sat across from me. We were discussing various challenges. And he leaned across the table and he looked at me and he said, "Look, evil never fatigues. Righteousness does, because your work is harder." What do you do when you are fatigued? When your zeal has grown cool? When your love has grown cold? What do you do when your arms feel heavy and your feet begin to drag? What do? You look upward. Look away from yourself. Look away from self and look to Christ. How is Jesus described by the apostles? He is described with the words of Psalm 69 and verse 9. "Zeal for your house has consumed me." In other words, jealousy for the Lord of hosts had devoured him.
It's the same sentiment that burned in the soul of the prophet Elijah, that he was jealous for the Lord of hosts, 1 Kings 19. It's that same spirit that burned in the heart of Jehu. Jehu says, "Come into my chariot and see my zeal for the Lord." It's the same spirit that glowed in the heart of the Apostle Paul as he walked through Athens and he saw the idolatry. Despite the beauty of the architecture, his heart was provoked within him when he saw that it was given over to idols. Look to Christ. Look to Christ and let your heart be revived. Let it be renewed. Let it be reinvigorated. Look to Christ. Look to Christ, the one who suffered in your behalf. Look away from yourself. Look to Christ, the one who was overcome by the waters of the flood. And see if your affection, if your burning jealousy for the Lord of hosts is not stirred and quickened. Look at these words. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." Look to Christ, who endured the flood waters reaching up to his neck, sinking into the mire. What was the mire in which he sank? He sank into the mire of the wrath of God. He was overcome there at the cross. Psalm 69 describes the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. That the flood would overcome. He would sink in the mire. There would be no foothold. He would be taken out by the current, and he could not find his feet. "I've come into deep waters." His throat would be parched, and his eyes would grow dim. Ours is a mournful Savior. He was a man of sorrows. Sorrow is one of those circumstances of life that can dampen your zeal. It can slow your pace. Sorrows. Sorrows take various forms. Whenever you feel it, whenever that weight presses down upon your soul, threatening to squash any amount of life or joy, you look to Christ. You look to the one, that man of sorrows, whose eyes grew dim with waiting. You look to Christ and you see if your zeal is not revived. You look to Him, the one, verse 4, hated without cause. You look to Him who had those who would destroy Him, who were mighty, false accusations. You look to Him who had to restore what He did not steal. What must He restore there at the cross? What must He restore in His obedience? He must restore the honor of the Father. He must restore the purity, the honor, the glory. He must restore perfection, righteousness. He must restore the image of God. You just make a list of all the things that He had to restore. "What I did not steal, must I now restore?" You look at verse 5. You look to Christ. And who is Christ? He is the one who bore the iniquities of His people. What did He do as the substitute? Christ as the sinless substitute for sin. What did He carry? What was imputed to Him? It was sin. Sin is imputed to Him. When you see these words, "Oh God, You know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from You." Look, Jesus would have sung this psalm in the synagogue, knowing that He's singing about Himself, His own work. What did He come to do? He came to bear the folly, the sin of His people. you look to Christ. For your sake, verse 7, I've borne reproach. Dishonor's covered my face. You look to Christ, who was made a stranger to His own family. You look to Christ, consumed with zeal, weeping, fasting, drunkards mocking Him in song. Can you imagine? You look to Christ, the one who suffered. You look to Christ, the one who prayed. He suffered in behalf of sinners, but look at what He also does. He also prays. And when the Son of God prays, He prays with a fervor for the glory and the justice of God. Some of these petitions that we read sound a bit jarring. Let their own table before them become a snare. When they are at peace, let it become a trap. Verse 25, may their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. Some of these petitions, they don't seem to flow to our ears. But y'all, for the Son of God, whose heart burned with zeal for the glory of God and for the justice of God, these petitions are not only allowed, they are right. And the apostles had learned how to pray by praying with Christ. And so, when they're gathered in fellowship in Acts chapter 1, and they begin to pray, and they begin to deliberate on how to replace Judas, the fallen disciple, guess which words they turn to? They turn to the petition of Psalm 69. May their camp be a desolation, and let no one dwell in their tents. You look to Christ. Look to Him whose very petitions burned with fervor for the sacred name of God. So much so that these petitions, they are calling down the justice of God. And they're looking ahead to the final day, looking ahead to that day when justice will be served and righteousness will be restored. And what He did not steal, He would restore at the last day, as well as at the cross. That one statement in verse 4, that has many, many applications. You look to Christ. And then you look to Christ, who is a singer. What does He do? Look at verses 29 through 36. He's a singer. He is one filled with praise. He is one who lifts His very voice in song. Look at verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. You look to Christ. There is the answer. You look to Him. He is the source. He is the fullness. He is the power. He is the one who glows with that radiance, with that light. There's where you look. There's where your hearts are revived. Verse 34, let heaven and earth praise Him. He's calling not only on Israel, He calls on all of the nations to praise Him. The seas and everything that moves in them. Why? Look at verse 35. God will save Zion. What is Zion? Well, it is the church. God will save His church. He will build her up. He will construct the cities, build the cities of Judah. People shall dwell there and possess it. Your zeal begins to cool. Your pace begins to slacken. Look to Christ.
And when you look to this one who has ascended on high, leading captivity captive, receiving and then giving gifts to men, oh, you see if it does not quicken your pace. See if it doesn't stir your pulse. You look to Him. Zeal for your house has consumed me. You look to Him. Zeal for the glory of the Lord is what drove Him to the cross. It is what drove Him with that spirit of sacrifice to Calvary's hill. It is what lifted His hands in benediction upon His disciples, saying, "Go into all the world. And you baptize and you teach. And you press on confident with the assurance that I am with you to the very end." It is zeal for the glory of the Lord that kept the apostles moving. Kept them going. In imitation of Christ, their master, who had gone from point to point, from city to city, with a human frame, human flesh, human. He would grow weary. He would grow thirsty. He would grow hungry. And what was it that kept Him going? It was that delight. That quaking joy and delight in the glory of the Lord. Zeal for your house has consumed me. When this becomes the steady, pervading, dominant principle of the Christian, it gives you a delight in the worship of God, in the truth of God, in the church of God. It makes you willing to give a rebuke to an apostle, just as we saw this morning in Galatians chapter 2. The truth demands it. The glory of the Lord demands it. And when you look out and you see a world that is raising its fist in defiance against this Messiah, against this Lord, against His Christ, waving their flag in defiance of His truth, does it not stir your blood? Does it not stir you to cry out and to pray with a fervor, with an agony, praying Scripture right back to Him that His glory would be upheld? Now you look out and the fire burns within. Our hearts are moved. And we've got to speak. You must be willing to speak. Be willing to pray. And be willing, in imitation of your master, to sacrifice. Zeal for your house has consumed me. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Amen. In union with our Christ, in union with our Savior, may those words be placed upon not only your lips, but also your soul. And may that fervent love. That's what zeal is. Zeal is fervent, jealous love. May that jealousy for the Lord of hosts, may that drive your feet, keep you moving. Whatever it takes for His glory. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we would look to You, Lord Jesus, the one who endured the waters of the flood, sinking in the mire with no place for Your feet. We would look to You, Lord Jesus, hated without cause. We pray, Lord, that those who hope in you would not be put to shame through us. And that those who trust in you would not be dishonored through our witness. Lord, give us that delight in the sacred name of the Lord. And may that delight move our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. We pray this in Jesus' name.